Would you please stand with us while we worship?
Thank you.
Trust you, I don't need. Great light talks in Galilee. Some say madman, some say king. A wonder-working rebel priest, Jesus Christ the Nazarene. He knew well what it would take to free us all from sin and grace. A perfect man would have to die, and only he could pay that price. Sunday's coming. Don't lose hope, cause Sunday is coming. Devil, you're done, you better start running. Friday's good, cause Sunday is coming. So let those soldiers take him in. Betrayed him with a kiss. There before the mocking crowd, lamb to the slaughter couldn't make a sound. He carried that cross to Calvary, shed his blood to set us free.
I think that'll work. Okay. Is it on? Yep. Okay. All right. So let's open a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the blessings of this day. And as we come together, we do think of Jacob, that he would be able to get well soon. And we just thank you for his effort to be here today. So guide us as we look into your word, and we thank you for those that are here. We pray for those that could not be here, that are not feeling well with this cold that seems to be going around. Just to help them to recover quickly and get back on their feet. So, Father, we again thank you for this day and your blessings. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so Jacob was going to speak from Romans 12. And so I will take us on a kind of a quick tour of the chapter 12 of Romans. So if you would, open your Bibles to Romans 12. We'll start in verse 1. So in verse 1, we read, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to rest and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." That passage, it is telling us that if we want to know God's will, then we have to be in fellowship with him. And we get in fellowship by simply, as believers, confessing our sins to God in prayer. And he is quick to forgive us our sins. And he assures us that those sins are as far as the east is from the west. And what is being said here is, if you want to conform to God's will, you need to understand what his will is. And we cannot accomplish that or do it unless we have the Word of God in our minds. And how do we get that? We study the Bible. We have God speak to us, and the best way we can do that is to first confess unconfessed sin as we go to God's Word, and we go in with the mind that His Word is going to speak to us. It's going to convict us. There are going to be times when we were like, oops, did I just read that? And that's a good indication that you may be out of fellowship with the Lord at that point. And so you want to be able to confess and get back to His will for our lives. And he's telling us here that we're not to conform to this world. You know, this world is temporary. It's not going to be around. We don't know for how much longer. Been around a long time. Sunday school lesson, we were talking about the town of Mamre, or actually the location of Mamre, just outside of Hebron. And it's the place where Abraham established and built a shrine, an altar to God, because of God's grace towards him. So that's 4,000 years ago. And the location is known, and it's been excavated, and you can actually walk on what the author of the video that we watched calls a holy place, the altar, and holy ground that surrounds it. So, you know, God has a purpose for every one of us. And we don't always understand what God's doing in our lives. But there's times when we want to say, God, what are you doing to me? And those are the times when we need not conform to this world and get angry at the world and angry at everything else. Because that's not going to solve anything. What's going to solve the situation is, again, getting right with God and not conforming to this world. I can assure you, you'll get criticized for it. You'll get ridiculed for it. There are those that profess that so much of the Bible is just fairy tales. I could name a book that is out there that is full of fairy tales. We'll leave that. But this book, however, I like historical archaeology of the Holy Lands, because not that I need it to convince me of God's will or God's presence at a place, or his people were at this place or that place, but because it does help to confirm to the people that you run into who say, the Bible is just made up stories. No, the continuity of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation says very clearly that, and over that period of time that it was recorded, that no human mind could sew that all together and knit it together the way that it is. Because you know, as you study the Bible in Genesis, you can find evidence of this particular situation in the New Testament and the times that it was written. In between times, nobody could have done that. Here's a passage when I was doing a study on memory that came to mind. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. It reads, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" That is the confirmation, and it's a prophecy of Christ. I mean, how is the whole world, all the peoples in the world, possibly going to be blessed through Abraham's seed, other than through Christ? Because Christ died for the sins of the world, not just for one person or two persons or certain persons that God selected in eternity past. It is for all people. Christ paid the price in total. Sin is not going to be an issue when we face God. It is going to be, what have you done for Christ? Because sin's paid for. It's done. We're not going to be judged for our sins. We will be judged for what we did in the name of Christ. So, when you look at what is being said here in Romans, carry on from verse 2, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself any more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we are many from one body, and each member belongs to all. To all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So, we're given instruction on how we're to respond to the gifts that God gives us. Now, the gift of prophecy, as I understand it, and the gift of tongues, ended at the canonicity of the Scriptures. And it's a controversial subject amongst Christians, many groups of Christians, that, I can prophesy this, I can prophesy that. I think that prophesying and speaking in tongues requires certain witnesses. And prophecy in the Bible is the prophet gives a short prophecy, something that's going to happen in the next 3 months. And if it does, then that prophet's long-term prophecy is true. But if it doesn't occur in that 3 months prophecy that he gave, he's to be what? Stoned. And so, because he's a false prophet at that point. So that's the Old Testament understanding of prophesying. Tongues requires translators in amongst the congregation. So, I just think that these were specific times and specific events that took place. That does not negate that. So I would presume that a true prophet could exist, but I think we'll look at the. It says clearly, let him use it, prophecy, in proportion to his faith. So if his faith is strong enough to make a short-term prediction and gives a long-term prediction, well then, that's the instruction and how we're to give it. And there's the ability to serve. Serve the congregation, serve the people around you, also to contribute to the needs of others, encourage. Let's face it, we all need encouragers in our lives. It's pretty miserable to be around a person that constantly is ridiculing and criticizing you. You want to be around people that give you encouragement. So many things in my lifetime, I've been around for a few years, has come from people that have encouraged me, who have encouraged me to carry on in a situation and see it through. So I think that this is what is being said here, is if you have that gift of encouraging others, then be sure and use it. It's there. God's giving you that gift and giving you that ability. And some people have a knack for it. And I think that's where the gift comes in. And then the gift of giving. Several places in the Bible it mentions, give, not letting your right hand know what the left hand's doing. Give hilariously. I love that one. Because the word there in the Greek means give. Give hilariously. So in other words, joyfully. It's not grudgingly. Who wants to, have somebody give you something grudgingly? Nobody does. So then, reading on in... In verse 9, love must be sincere. You know, this is an expression that goes around today. What is it? Kind of like stonewalling you giving false sense of caring about somebody or someone. And of course, in this world today that we live in, there is, one of my favorite words, narcissistic people. Of course, we all have some of that, but there are some that go way overboard. And so I think that, if love, if you're going to love, love sincerely, and hate what is evil, cling to what is good. And how do we know what is good and what is evil? Bible tells us, makes it very clear to us what is and what isn't evil and what is good and what isn't good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. And I think this again is getting at that selfless giving, that selfless sharing, that selfless concern for others that... That you need to be aware of, and the old saying goes, the other person's moccasins and what they're walking in, because we don't know what the next person standing next to us is going through. You don't know that if they've just lost a loved one or what the situation, the circumstances is. But be aware of if they're hurting, that they're hurting. And try to comfort. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spirited fervor serving the Lord. So if you're going to have zeal for the Lord and share what God's doing in your life. You know, every one of us has something going on in our lives. And, you know, if it is something that someone else can benefit from, share it, because it might be just the thing they need to hear. Be joyful in hope. You know, our hope is in the Lord, so we ought to be joyful, because we know He knows the beginning from the end, or to the end, and He knows what's in store for us. And we again get some explanation of what that is in His Word. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Again, we need to be hospitable. You know, when we were designing the kitchen in the building next door, the thought of it was, if ever there's another Walmart situation, God forbid, that kitchen and that building would be available to the community to help those that are hurting as a result. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Now, that's a hard one. I think we've all been there. We've all had situations where, and usually it comes from somebody you never would have expected it. But if it does, seek out the blessing in it. Let God deal with it. Because what does He tell us? Revenge is His, saith the Lord. Not ours. And that's hard. That's tough. You know, you just want to get out and strangle somebody at times. But no, that's not the way. God's telling us here, treat it as a blessing, because God will deal with that situation and that person or persons. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those that mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Do not be willing, but be willing to exercise with people of low position, or associate with people of low positions. And do not be conceited. Again, this is where I think the narcissistic society that we're living in comes in. It's deceitful. It's constantly people that are just proud, for one thing. They're very proud of themselves, of their appearance, of what they've accomplished. And be willing to associate with people of low position. I mean, I think we probably have all met people there too, and we've seen it. You often see it in the movies, where you know someone is just so, you know, I'm up here, you're down here, type thing, and holding people at arm's length because they're not your equal. That again is not of the Lord. That is something that the Lord obviously frowns upon. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but have room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I think it's a good reminder, this passage, of how God wants us to live and to behave and conduct ourselves. Is it difficult? Sure it is. You know, it's because we have a nature in us that, you know, we can either do good or we can do bad. And that is what we, I think, in our walk daily need to keep in mind is, are we hurting someone by our actions or are we blessing them by our prayers and our concern for them? We're going to probably end up a little early. So with that, I will close. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. For in your word is your mind and how you would have us conduct our lives and our walk. And we thank you for it. We thank you for the text that we've gone through. We thank you that you have provided salvation for us through Jesus Christ and none other, by faith and faith alone. So, Father, as we set about our separate ways today, just pray for safety as we travel and that we continue with these thoughts that we've reviewed throughout this coming week. Be with Josh. Pray, Father, that you'll help Jacob and Roger Dunning to get well. They're not feeling well, and I'm sure there's many others that are not able to be here today because of illness. We just pray that you will heal them, make them well, so that we can be back together next week and praising you, the Savior of our lives and our soul. We pray in his precious name. Amen.
Deixa